Leland Morgan from Texas A&M. It's a group study, and he'll be presenting the data on a multi-year evaluation of potassium rate for optimum yield and sustainability.
Thank you, Hank. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm going to cover the second year of a multi-year study. This is a three-year study that we're doing. And this started out as a state project. I'm not a trained soil scientist, but I work with some soil scientists there in Texas. And we initiated some of these studies in Texas and got very positive results. We broadened it to the Cotton Belt, and the results have been much less conclusive. So that's a disclaimer leading into my presentation today. But we have these locations across the Cotton Belt, again, a three-year study that's going to go on. No surprise here, a lot of the things going on, a lot more of the potassium deficiencies are being seen across the Cotton Belt. There may be a lot of factors playing into that, root growth, along with some testing methods and other things that may be skewing or be a bit misleading about our current thresholds. Also, today's varieties are much faster fruiting up, much higher yield potential, so it puts much more demand on obtaining that potassium in a short amount of time. And then also, there's benefits to minimizing potassium deficiencies because they are more prone to some foliar diseases. Some of the work from new GIS has shown that the potassium balance is actually decreasing. We're actually depleting the potassium, so it doesn't show up real well just the way that web page is set up. But basically, the orange means we're actually depleting potassium in there. If it's yellow, or yellow is more or less neutral, and then green is increasing potassium levels. But you can see throughout much of the Cotton Belt, it's actually estimating that we're depleting potassium. This gives you an idea of what the project's going on. Again, for a three-year project, it was divided into two different projects last year where we had a multi-year study where, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, where these individuals go back in the exact same location, exact same plots, and look at the drawdown of potassium over time or the accumulation of potassium over time. And those are the green stars here, and then the yellow stars indicate those are our new site years where we go to a new location every year looking to see what level of response we get to the different potassium applications, methods, and rates. I'm going to go into a little bit of the methodology here just because some of the results won't make sense otherwise. But basically, for the trial we're going to talk about today, it's a randomized complete block design, and they're going into identical locations in 2015 and 2016. The varieties we had are kind of early mid-maturity varieties. We had soil samples from 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 24 inches. All these samples were analyzed at one lab, Texas A&M lab, each of those years. And we took a lot more physiological data. We took leaf sample data, and a lot of that data is still being processed. So I'm going to mainly just talk about the soil and the yield data today. These are our treatments, no additional potassium for the broadcast incorporated. Then we had 40. 80, 120, and 160 pounds, and then we had similar treatments for injected applications. And then this is all potassium chloride. This is just a diluted form of potassium chloride. And then in Arizona, they use potassium sulfate. All the other locations were potassium chloride. The liquid applications were about 4 inches by 6 inches from the seed furrow 2 to 4 weeks before planting, and then broadcast incorporated. Greater than 3 inches, and then again 2 to 4 weeks before planting. So we're going to work now. We're going to look at some of the soil results from these locations. For the sake of time, I've narrowed this down to just a few locations that kind of had some points that we want to make here. But the next few slides are going to be set up identical. This is the change in potassium and parts per million going from 2015 to 2016. So if it's below the zero line, then that means we actually depleted potassium from those given at those given treatments. And you can see the broadcast incorporated is the first set of bars, and then the injected is the second set of bars over here. And then the blue bar is 0 to 6 inch sample, and then 6 to 12 is the orange, and then the gray is 12 to 24. So this is a very sandy site in Virginia that Hunter Frame has. average across this about 92 part per million. But with those sandy soils he has there, you can essentially see that he was, even at the highest rates, he was not accumulating potassium at that given location. So basically those soils, either it's leaching through or something else is happening in that potassium within that given season. And then looking at Tennessee, which is also, it's a non-irrigated sandy site, and we'll show the yield data in a little bit, but about two and a half bale yield there in 2016. But we can see here, about up to 80 pounds, we were actually mining that potassium. Application rates above 80, at 120 and 160, we were actually accumulating potassium in those given trials, or in those given treatments. Similar situation in the injected application. And you can see the part per million here, this was a pretty low potassium location. Moving somewhat in that delta region, so Missouri, Andrea had this location, and there are some interesting things here going on that we don't exactly understand about potassium dynamics, and this is just one example of that. But you can see at the broadcast incorporated, zero potassium applied, our levels in part per million were substantially higher than they were the previous year. We don't really have an answer for that. We don't know if it's just the, you know, sampling timings was basically the same, soil moisture was similar, but maybe there's some potassium moving in and out of those clay particles that's showing more plant available potassium using the Malic 3 extraction. But we do see a general trend as we increase those rates up to 120 pounds, basically more accumulation of that potassium across those. This was also something that happened at numerous locations. The highest rate of potassium, we actually showed less accumulation there. And again, another anomaly that we don't really have an answer for at this point in time. And then moving to our far west location in Arizona with Randy Norton. Very high potassium levels native in those soils. But you can see here where you can see a slight accumulation in that potassium in those given locations. One could probably maybe extrapolate to some level that we're mining that out of that 24-inch sample, that 12 to 24-inch range, but definitely accumulating in that upper location. And this was a furrow-irrigated field of Randy's. Now moving into the yield data, again, this is similar to our 2015 results where we didn't have a lot of significant yield response. And 2016 was not a whole lot different. But Virginia here, we can see we had, Hunter did have some significant difference in some of the given treatments, but the overall trend isn't all that great with increasing potassium levels. And I should say the dotted line is the broadcast incorporated, and the solid line is the injected application for yield there. And then in South Carolina, and Mike Jones has done this similar work for many years, and his results were similar to this in years past, just hard to get a positive yield response out of potassium in that South Carolina area. But according to our current thresholds, both of these locations should have been responsive locations. This is a very busy slide, but I kind of wanted to throw all these, that delta region, kind of all into one. The parts per million for the different locations are up here. The Arkansas and Mississippi are kind of upland sites. Missouri is in the delta, and then the Tennessee locations on some sandy soils there. But you can see here, we did see a significant yield response going in some of these given treatments, but the overall trends weren't consistent across locations. For example, this broadcast incorporated application increased pretty substantially there in Mississippi, but then you look at the banded application and there wasn't all that much of a response. Then Missouri, broadcast or injected, basically was a flat. And then the Arkansas there, it would tend to be a little bit of difference in the injected and the broadcast incorporated. And then Tyson Raper, he had some significant responses there, but again, you can see the inconsistencies within those given treatments. And then Randy Norton, again, where he had a lot of potassium already in the soil, his response was very similar in 2015 as well, with no significant yield response. And with this, You know, despite having a lot of locations and many of them being below the current threshold, we still have a problem getting a consistent response from these potassium applications. I have another presentation on Friday morning. I know Katie Lewis has some also on Friday morning, going in more depth on some of the possible reasons for some of these non-responsive sites. But with that, we're going to try to integrate some more locations next year that are maybe a little more stressful situations, which is where we have seen a more consistent potassium response, at least at our Texas locations. And with that, I just want to thank Cotton Incorporated, Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, IP&I, and Delta Pond for the seed, and I appreciate it.